What is one of our main assignments on Earth, and by what standard do we judge it? Next on Principles and Policies. Hello, this is Chuck Michaelis. I'm the Vice Chairman of the Institute for Principal Policy and the Executive Director of Camp American. Barry Sheets, who's normally your host on this program, is currently serving as a delegate to the Presbyterian Church in America's General Assembly, and so he's out of pocket, so I'm acting as host. This week, we are listening to a presentation given by the Reverend Joe Moorcraft of Chalcedon Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and we are listening to the opening remarks that he gave at our Semper Reformanda Conference, Engaging the World for Christ, and that was given April 26th and 27th at Grace Presbyterian OPC Church in Columbus on Postlewaite Road. And I'm just going to go right into it because if I don't, we won't get it all in. So at the end, I'll tell you how to obtain a copy of the audio for this in its entirety or a video if you'd like it.
They believe in evolution. So history and civilization has proceeded from primitive cavemen whose knuckles made ruts in the sand. To an upward, every succeeding civilization being more advanced, except neither history nor archaeology nor theology allow for that. That what we see in history are more complex civilizations. The older the human race is, the more the complex the civilization, degenerating into worse and worse civilizations. One of my favorite books, I highly recommend to you. It's not written by a Christian. But the title of the book is The Maps of the Ancient Sea Kings. And this book is written by a cartologist, that is an expert in the study of maps. And he studied medieval maps and found the medieval maps were not that reliable because though they could always find latitude, medieval cartologists had a problem finding longitude. And so their maps were often incorrect. He said, but in his study of maps, and this guy had no intention of proving the Bible. I mean, he wasn't even a Christian. He found older maps where the latitude and the longitude were accurate. And so he started looking up copies of these maps all over the Middle East. And he found that these were copies of maps that predate a cartologist who lived hundreds of years before Christ. They predated this man hundreds upon hundreds of years BC. Now, what's amazing about these maps that I've seen with my own eyes is they are the exact coastline of North and South America and of Europe and Africa. Hundreds upon hundreds of years before Christ. And not only are they the exact shorelines of Europe and Africa, North and South America, but they have rivers emptying into the Atlantic Ocean where rivers are supposed to be. So we're talking about a civilization that was global and that was capable of charting all of the known world accurately, who knows how many generations or millennia before Christ. But the thing that makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck on these maps that I've seen is they have Antarctica without ice. Antarctica without ice. Before any so-called ice age. And then they have some other maps with Antarctica partially covered with ice. And then they have Europe with gigantic lakes stuck here and there that aren't there anymore, except they're not lakes, they're gigantic glaciers. So the point is, here you have a global civilization that was capable of charting all the known world. I think these go all the way back to the Tower of Babel. So then you remember what God did. He brought his judgment to bear upon this great global civilization built upon a principle of revolt against God. And he scattered them by separating their languages and causing them to spread to various other places of the world where they would still build civilizations, but smaller civilizations. And then God called Abraham to build a covenant civilization. God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and a pagan civilization to go to the land of Canaan and to build a civilization based upon the word of God and to begin God's covenant people. And you remember in that covenant, we'll talk more about it this evening, the Lord willing, God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a seed. And that seed will be more numerous than the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. And that seed will possess the gates of its enemies. And I'm going to give you land. I mean, that many people got to live somewhere. So I'm going to give you land. And then I'm going to give you a promise for the future. That as that people are faithful at rebuilding again a civilization on the promised land to my glory, eventually every family of every nation of the earth will be blessed. As long as, and this is the root promise, as long as you maintain fellowship with me. Because the one distinction of you and your civilization is that you're mine. And you belong to me and you're to live in terms of my word. So Abraham faithfully sought to build a rebuild civilization in the promised land. And then Israel fell again. Eventually, you remember, it had to go back to Egypt. And it fell into slavery into Egypt. And it started imitating some of the sins of Egypt itself. And it required being redeemed. So God sent the Old Testament mediator, the Old Testament redeemer, as it were, Moses, to come and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, to take them to Mount Sinai, where they would receive a constitution that would be, that would formalize them as a, and constitute them as a nation that was responsible to prepare themselves to rebuild civilization in the promised land. Moses leads them through the wilderness. They come to the promised land. Joshua takes over and leads them in the conquest of this land, the occupation of this land, the divvying up of the various pieces of real estate in this land so that there might be a new Israelite civilization in the land of promise. And here's the restatement of the dominion mandate again to Moses and Joshua, Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 8. Now, and remember when Deuteronomy was written. Deuteronomy was written after the 40 years of basic training. After the first generation died off for building the golden calf, etc. Now they're on the verge, they're on the threshold of taking the land of promise. They're getting ready to take this land to build a civilization on. And here's God's word to them. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. I like to put that phrase in Southern. What he's saying to them in Southern is when you go in this promised land, your one standard for determining what institutions you're going to have and for your ethics and everything else about your life is the word of God. So just do what I tell you. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just do what I tell you. That's the standard. I don't need an interpreter here, do I? Okay. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who followed Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you're entering to possess it. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I'm setting before you today? So here God calls Moses and Joshua to rebuild civilization. Now God has redeemed them through Moses out of slavery, made them free men, and now as free men, they're to serve God's purposes in this world. And he says to the children of Israel in this civilization, you don't have to go on your own. Your decisions may not be left up to your own opinions or to traditions or to pragmatism. But all of your decisions and all of your civilization building must be founded on the all-sufficiency of the Word of God. Everything you will need to know how to build a godly civilization you have in my Word. So don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just obey my commandments, and that's all you'll need to rebuild your culture. And then he throws out this challenge that you can throw out to your people. What great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? In other words, Moses saying to the people, God has given us his written word in the Bible. Follow it. Do you know any other nation anywhere on earth that has a more perfectly just and righteous set of laws in all the world than the laws that God has given us? Of course not. So you can say that today to your people who are dissatisfied with the law of God. Give me an alternative. Give me a standard. Give me a code of ethics anywhere in the world that is more righteous and just than all these laws contained in Holy Scripture that God has given us. That will silence your enemies, unless they're ignorant. And one time I was on a television show, maybe you saw it back in the 80s, called God and Politics. It was produced by Bill Moyer, who's no friend of ours. And he had Rush Dooney and several other people you know on it, and 35 million people saw it. And it was talking about how to create a Christian America. Well, at the end, they had a famous evangelical who taught at a leading seminary who disagreed with us to make his comment. Now, I'm not going to tell you who this professor is, nor what seminary he taught in, but it's in the city of Dallas. And if you ask me afterwards, I'll tell you his name. You'll recognize it. But his criticism of what we said was that he didn't want a Christian America. He wanted a moral America. As if you could have a moral America without a Christian America. I mean, that's good Phariseeism, don't you think? And then the reporter, the little humanistic reporter who's just sort of asking questions, asked this famous evangelical the right question. She said to him, sir, since you're a Christian, if not the law of God in the Bible, then what would you choose as the foundation for politics and law and jurisprudence and ethics in the United States? And you know what he said? I'm going to give you a direct quote from this evangelical Christian. The Code of Hammurabi. You know what the Code of Hammurabi is? It's a steel that's buried under the sand for who knows how long by the great tyrant of Babylon, Hammurabi, as what ethics and law should be. And that's what this Christian would prefer to the laws of the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ contained in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so God is, he's forgotten this challenge, and this is what you and I must remember. We are to be civilization builders. We have one standard as to how that civilization must be built, and that is the Word of God. We may never compromise it. One time I was in the office of the Speaker of the House in Washington, whom I'd known for many years. His name is Newt Gingrich. And we were talking about a dear friend of mine, Congressman Larry McDonald, that was killed in the shoot down of the Korean Airline 007, 1983. And the Speaker said, Joe, the one thing I couldn't stand about Larry McDonald.
Well, to find out what the former Speaker Newt Gingrich couldn't stand about Larry McDonald, you'll have to tune in tomorrow, or you'll have to obtain a copy of the audio for this presentation, and that's available at www.principledpolicy.com. It's not listed in our store yet, but it will be, and if you want a copy before it's listed in the store, get a hold of us at director@principledpolicy.com or call the phone number there on the website. Again, join us tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.